is the Buffalo High School graduation. So please keep all of the graduates in your prayers. GPM is our council meeting here. Monday, our volunteers for the food pantry are Linda and Ernie Champlin and Jan Nelson. Do we have any other announcements? We did send out on the prayer chain the announcement regarding Alice Deal, sometimes known as Little Alice, who has passed from this life to the next. So please keep Kay and Paul Thompson and all of Alice's family and friends in your prayers. Please stand as you are able for the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who forgives all our sin. His mercy endures forever. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, The Church's One Foundation, number 654.
Christ, your Lord. She is risen for grace.
our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Then we will read it today. Let us read the Canticle of Praise together. This is a feast of victory for our God, for the Lamb who was slain has begun his reign. Alleluia. Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Power, riches, wisdom, and strength, and honor, blessing, and glory are his. This is a feast of victory for our God, for the Lamb who was slain has begun his reign. Alleluia. Sing with all the people of God, and join in the hymn of all creation. Blessing, honor, glory, and might be to God and the Lamb forever. Amen. This is a feast of victory for our God, for the Lamb who was slain has begun his reign. Alleluia. Let us pray. O God of glory, your Son, Jesus Christ, suffered for us and ascended to your right hand. Unite us with Christ and each other in suffering and in joy, that all the world may be drawn into your bountiful presence through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
First reading is from the first chapter of Acts. When the apostles had come together, they asked Jesus, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All of these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. The word of the Lord. Let us read Psalm 68 responsibly. Let God arise, and let God's enemies be scattered. Let those who hate God flee. But let the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. Let them also be merry and joyful.
Sing to God, sing praises to God's name. Exalt the one who rides the clouds. I am as his enemy. Rejoice before God.
In your holy habitation, O God, you are a father to orphans, defender of widows. O God, when you went forth before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, you sent a bountiful rain, O God. You restored your inheritance when it languished. Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth, sing praises to the Lord. Ascribe power to God, whose majesty is over Israel, whose strength is in the skies. The second reading is from the fourth and fifth chapters of 1 Peter. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as far as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves, keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After Jesus had spoken these words to his disciples, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I'm asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Jesus was a man of prayer. We see him praying frequently throughout scriptures. I went online to find out how many types of prayer there are. I found one declaring that there are 5 types of prayer, another that there are 10, another that there are 20. Well, here's one way to talk about prayer. Prayer can be adoration and worship, where we exalt the greatness of God and acknowledge our dependence upon God for all things. Prayer can be praise, acknowledging who God is. As one catechism states, praise lauds God for his own sake and gives him glory quite beyond what he does, but simply because he is. It shares in the blessed happiness of the pure of heart who love God in faith before seeing him in glory. The Psalms are perhaps the best known example of prayers of praise. Prayer can be thanksgiving, where we thank God for all that God has given us and done for us. I found driving in California, I was frequently engaging in prayers of thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for getting me through this traffic. The prayer can be petition, where we ask God for what we need, both our spiritual and our physical needs. And prayers of petition should always include a statement of our willingness to accept God's will, regardless of whether or not our prayer is answered. The Lord's Prayer is a good example of a prayer of petition, and the line, Thy will be done, shows that we acknowledge that God's plans for us are more important than what we may desire. And prayer can be intercession, where we ask God to help other people. Praying for others is a critical part of being part of the body of Christ. The Bible instructs us to pray for one another and to intercede on each other's behalf. In our gospel lesson for today, we heard that Jesus prayed for others in those final hours before being arrested. The Apostle Paul wrote of how often he kept other Christians in his prayers as well. He wrote in Colossians, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." That's Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. Our gospel lesson for today is sometimes called Jesus' high priestly prayer. It is part of his farewell discourse. He has washed the feet of his disciples and eaten with them. Judas, the one who's going to betray him, has left the room to set Jesus' arrest in motion. Jesus knows that the time he has remaining with his disciples is very short, and there is much he needs to say to them. Words of comfort and encouragement to help them in the difficult times ahead. He looks at the 11 and at the faithful women. He looks at these who have followed him, eaten with him, heard him preach, seen him perform miracles, and yet do not understand. Sometimes they've said the right words, such as when Peter proclaimed him to be the Messiah, and Thomas said that they should follow him even to death. But Peter will betray him, and Thomas, well, we all know about Thomas. So he looks at this ragtag bunch of followers and begins his prayer. I want to read from a commentary because I think it does a really good job of explaining what is going on in this high priestly prayer. It's called a high priestly prayer. If you remember, there was a veil that separated everyone from the Holy of Holies. You had areas in the temple. The Gentiles could go so far. The women could go so far. Jewish men could go so far. Priests could go so far. And then there was a veil, and only the high priest could enter and be in the Holy of Holies. And we hear that when Jesus died, that veil in the temple was ripped in two. That Jesus is our high priest. Jesus is the one who goes to us, goes between us and the Father. He's the one that the Father hears. And in this commentary, it states, the so-called high priestly prayer in John 17 comes at the conclusion of the farewell discourse. The narrative pictures a confused group of disciples unable to comprehend the significance of what is being said or what is about to happen. The air is heavy with the prospect of Jesus' impending departure, and appropriately, Jesus prays for the disciples, for their protection, their solidarity, their steadfast future after he is gone. The prayer is addressed to God, but the disciples, both ancient and modern, that means us, are invited to sit in and be comforted by the words that Jesus speaks on their behalf. Before the prayer takes on its intercessory qualities, Jesus asks that the Father glorify the Son so that the Son in turn may glorify the Father. The verbs are the language of revelation. Jesus has made visible the Father's presence and power throughout his ministry, and now he prays that God will reveal the divine majesty specifically in the events of death, resurrection, and departure. The disciples then are not left to their own devices or their own desires. In the future, they fear so much the divine veil is pulled back and the face of God is seen in the face of Jesus. The disciples are not left with the best of human possibilities, but with the very reality of God. They have a name and a basis for confronting the riddles of human existence, even though they live without the physical companionship of Jesus. Something earth-shattering, life-changing, is at stake in this act of glorifying, this revelation of the Father. It is not merely the datum for another religion, but the giving of life. Not just breathing, eating, moving, but the life of the age to come. More sharply than any other writer in the New Testament, the writer of the fourth gospel sees in the coming of Jesus a change in the eons of movement in the world's clock, the dawning of a new day, so that the life of eternity can be experienced now. Jesus, as a revelation of God, has the authority to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Of course, the verb know in the fourth gospel carries the notion of something more than intellectual acceptance, something different from mystical meditation. It does not imply a solution to all the intricacies of Trinitarian theology, nor does it mean that the knower is transformed into a model of piety. Rather, knowing God means being related to a revelation that has happened in history, confessing a person named Jesus, crucified and risen as Son of God. Knowing God entails obeying the commandments of God, and especially the new commandment to live in a loving relationship with other knowers of God. And into this, Jesus prays for those who have been given to him. And we see them as Jesus sees them, not as a confused group of people, but as people who are empowered to go forth into the world and proclaim the love and the message of God. And so he prays for them. And I ask you to look at that prayer with me. See what he says. So he says in verse 6, I've made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. He's praying for those who have chosen to follow him, those he has called who have accepted that call. Now they know that everything you've given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them, and they've received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and a belief that you sent me. And their belief is not complete. They don't really understand. But there's something about Jesus that compels them to believe in him. There's something about Jesus that compels us to believe in him. And he says, I'm asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. Jesus is not saying that he never prays for the world. He's saying in this prayer specifically that he wants to pray for the people who have chosen to follow him, the disciples who are present right there, and the disciples through the ages, those who are sitting here in this congregation today. Jesus is praying for us. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I'm no longer in the world, which seems a strange thing to say when he's still physically present with them. But his mind and his heart know where he's gone. And now I'm no longer in the world, but they're in the world. He's going to be leaving them. They have a job to do. just as we have a job to do. And I'm coming to you. Jesus knows where he's going. He's told them that he's leaving to prepare a place, and that place is in himself. Holy Father, protect them in your name you've given me, so that they may be one as we are one. And that is something that we need to pray for our unity as a church, our unity as a congregation, that oneness of mind and heart devoted to God and to doing God's will on the earth. We need to look at this and how Jesus prayed for his followers, for his church, and how we need to pray for one another, and especially for our church. I'm going to ask you right now to stop and look around at your brothers and sisters in the faith. Just pause. And then turn to God and pray silently or aloud if you feel the need. And just pray for one another, for the needs that you know, for the needs you do not know. And pray for those who are part of this community but are not here today, but are with us in spirit. And please pray for me as I pray for you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gift of prayer. We thank you for the example that you set before us on how to pray, both in the Lord's Prayer and in this prayer today. You've shown us how to petition for what is needed. You've shown us the need to pray for each other. We ask, Lord, that we be one as you are one, as you prayed. And we thank you for all that you've given us. We praise your holy name. And we ask all things in your name. Amen. Please stand as you're able and let's join in the hymn of the day, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds," number 656. confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. United in the hope and joy of the resurrection, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need.
God of harmony, as you drew your Son to your side, you draw us to you and unite us with the planet and one another. Weave your church together in a web of mutual love for the sake of the world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. As your Spirit hovered over the waters of creation, so your Spirit hovers over all that you have made. Bless the water that sustains the planet, and grant wisdom to use it wisely. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You empower your people with the fire of your Spirit. Challenge activists and organizers, teachers and politicians, and all in leadership to speak a message of peace and justice. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. You care for all your children. Show your steadfast love to those suffering isolation, especially exiles, refugees, or prisoners. Break the chains of all held fast by systemic oppression of any kind. Comfort all who are afraid or suffering from illness. We pray for all who are on our prayer chain and those that we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. We give thanks that humankind serves as your body in the world. Stewarding your abundant gifts, guide this congregation's leaders as they seek your will. We pray for our staff and council. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. You raise your saints to new life in Christ. We give you thanks for all your saints who have given us glimpses of your redeeming love. On this day, we especially remember Alice. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. And we thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and offerings. But let us now join in our offertory. We are an offering. such a way that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join your unending hymn. banquet, for all is now ready, and all are welcome.